world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Man, sorry, don't know what was going on there. No sound there for a while in the intro. Appreciate Johnny getting that thing up and running. Good morning. It is, what is it? The 14th day of May, show 2,152. First of all, tip of the cap to Craig yesterday. Craig came in, covered for me really, really well yesterday. I was listening as I was driving down the road. And I was listening so closely, I missed my turn twice, so I was almost late getting there. And it's like everything else, man. It always ends up into an argument, doesn't it? I mean, Craig was doing a good presentation to us on grand solar minimum and, you know, changes going on and all that. And it immediately goes into flat Earth, and there we go again. And so what kind of one of the themes we're having here is why can't we have a discussions and not be enemies. Why do people, when we really start to get into the issues, why do people leave? Well, I'm not going to listen to that. I don't believe that. Well, friends, I ask the same question. If it's not true, why do I want to believe it? And if it is true, I ought to be able to defend it. I don't take my ball and go home. You know what I love about this? This setup? Because everything's fair game. And your opinion matters. And your opinion, just because are you looking at me? Just because you believe it doesn't make it true. Come on now. Come on. So yesterday when I was in the class at Worthington Kilbourne yesterday, I said two things, told those students two things you better ask yourself throughout the rest of your life. Who told you that? And how do you know it's true? Who told you that? And how do you know it's true? Now, I think those are pretty sensible questions to ask oneself. But I wrote up on the board before I got gone, agenda, because everyone has an agenda. So you put up there, when someone's talking to you in the classroom, what's their agenda? Is their agenda really to make you smarter? Or is their agenda to try to convince you to believe what they believe? The guy standing up in the pulpit, the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Ask yourself a very simple question. In your church, is there liberty as long as you agree with the pastor? You have liberty for that? Is there liberty if you don't agree with the pastor? Because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So we ought to be able to talk about these issues that divide us. And if you don't think these issues divide us, I don't know. I don't know where you've been living. And we have people come and go here in the queue because they get butthurt because we happen to question something they believe. And rather than standing and debating it and thinking about it and studying it, they leave. Well, I'm not going to listen to him anymore. He's anti-Semitic. Why is it any time I question? I'm going to tell you. Stay with me a second, okay? Huh? Why is it anytime you question the motives of anything, you are all of a sudden anti that? Anti. If I question the Jews, I'm anti-Semitic. Where the hell did that thought come from? If I question a black man, I'm anti-black. If I question what the government's doing, I'm anti-government. If I question, if my wife wants to go to Subway to get a sub, and I want to go to KFC, I'm not anti-sub. I'm not anti-sub. I love Subway. I'm not anti-Subway, but I'm just pointing out I don't want to go there. I'm going to go here. And so if you, with your faith, have something that you believe, you are automatically anti something. But friends, that's how they box us in. Coach Dave, if you speak against Israel, you are anti-Jew. No, I am not anti-Jew. I don't have an anti-Semitic bone in my body, whatever that even means. Semitic. I'm telling you, as I sit here today, I really don't know what that word means. Pull that up for me real quickly. Semitic, because, hey, friends, I don't know if you know this or not. The more I talk about that J-E-W issue, the more people leave, the more they accuse me of being anti-Semitic. I don't even know what the hell the word means. Semitic. Put it up here. What does it mean? I'm going to bet you this. I bet it isn't even in the 1828 dictionary. S-E-M-E-T-I-C. S-E-M-E-T. Huh? Wasn't even a word like that back in 1828. Wasn't even a word. Try it again, John. I think. Hey, Johnny, hang on. Let's do this, Johnny. Let's go to dictionary.com. Dictionary.com. Folks, I'm trying to show you how you're programmed. What is Semitic? Oh, there was. There was, John. Dictionary.com. So I'm anti-Semitic. Semitic is relating to or constitution a subfamily of Afro-Asiatic language families that includes Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, and Amharic, of or relating to the characteristics of the Semites, which is any or all of the Semitic languages. And I'm anti-Semitic, whatever that means. Whatever that means. See, folks, they program you like little monkeys to say certain words. You become this. If you do this, you are anti-Semitic. If you do this, you are anti-Black. If you do this, you are anti-woman. Always. See, folks, some wise man, a guy a lot wiser than me, said that for every action, there was an equal and opposite reaction. I believe that guy's name was Newton, wasn't it? For every act. So in order to hate, there has to be what? A counterbalanced love. Love. So if I love hamburgers, that doesn't mean I hate lobsters. You with me? Do you understand the game that they play on us? Do you understand? So I love truth, and I ask myself this. Why are we protecting the Israel border and not the American border? And what anybody know what they throw at me? Come on, let me hear. Come on. I love the American border more than the Israeli border. What am I? Can you guys hear me out there? What am I, Betty?
You're an anti-Semitic, coach.
Do you get the game that's being played against us, folks? And here's what you better realize, and I realized a long time ago, that you're going to find out who really controls you when you find out who you cannot criticize. Oh, yeah. That's where we are. So I love what I do. I'm not ashamed of what I do. Not an anti-Semitic bone in my body. By the way, Johnny, keep looking, because that's Semite. What is a Semite? Maybe we ought to start. Hey, folks, somebody programmed you with that word in the last 100 years. Wasn't even a word before. What is a Semite? It's a member of any of a number of peoples of ancient Southwest Asia, including the Akkadians. Anybody know who they are? The Phoenicians, the Hebrews, and the Arabs. And all the descendants of these people. And they are all modern people speaking a Semitic language. So when you tell me I'm anti-Semitic, by the way, is Jew even mentioned there? Maybe I'm anti-Akkadian. Oh, Coach Dave, you're anti-Phoenician. Stop that, you're anti-Phoenician. How come they don't say that? Why is it if I question anything, I'm anti that? Hey, Dale, I'm anti crawdad. Although I used to be. Now I'm not. But look, if Michelle and I go out to eat, and I said, honey, you can have anything you want. oh my goodness, my belly's going to start churning. I'm going to get me a big old T-bone steak and baked potatoes, a lot of butter. I'll throw some cheese on top of it. And she's going to get lobster, probably. Why? Because she likes it. But I'm not anti-lobster. I'm pro-steak. You get it? You get the game that they're playing with us, folks? You get the game. And so I was writing yesterday. I didn't get done with it. I'm going to maybe try to finish it. All the things that all of a sudden you're anti. I'm anti. Anti. Anti this. You're anti that, huh? I drive my car. Am I anti-bicycle? Am I anti-bicycle if I do that? If I take my boat out on Lake Buckeye Lake, am I anti-Lake Erie? If I take my boat down the Muskingum River, am I anti-Buckeye Lake? Don't you understand what they're doing to us? The mind games that they're playing with us? If I criticize LeBron James, am I anti-black? What? Where did all this stuff come from, folks? Because, see, it is the calculation, the manipulation of the mind through language, baby. Through language. Through language. Yeah, if I question whether the earth is round, I'm a flat earther. I'm anti-you. What? Come on, man. Are we allowed to have open dialogue and communication to try to do what it says? Come, let us reason together so we all can get to the truth. So the Boy Scouts finally realized they were anti-woman. And now they're not anti-woman anymore. Right? Some busybody woman got in there and changed everything. They're not anti-woman anymore now. Oh, they're anti-man, though. Yeah, they're anti-man. Because anytime you're pro something, you're anti something. And when we try to come here and lay stuff out on the table, I lay facts on the table. And if it hurts you, you better look in the mirror. You've never heard me take any position at all that is anti anybody or anything. It is simply, here are the facts. What do you think? And then you get mad and leave. Oh, Coach Dave hates the Jews. What is wrong with you? What's wrong with you? That's the way we've been programmed. It is. It's the way we've been programmed. So yesterday when I went to Kilbourne High School, it was fabulous. Just fabulous. Fabulous. And as I said before in the pre-show, again, Craig, thanks for covering for me. You did a wonderful job. I asked him, I had three classes of all seniors, adults, most of them, they're almost 18 years old. And so I said, you don't mind me a little survey, how many of you go to church regularly? It's public school. How many of you go to church regularly? And it wasn't one in five. It wasn't one in five. So if there was 100 people in three different classes, there were 20, maybe 20 that went to church regularly. They have no understanding at all of the gospel. None, none, none. No understanding of it. And so they were fascinated yesterday as I cracked it open. And I cracked it open basically on truth. That's where I like to start. I write it up on the board, truth. What is this? How do you determine this? How do you know you're hearing this? And got into agenda and somebody's teaching you. Evolution. I showed the Ken Hovind video. Did I show that here yesterday? The Ken Hovind video. Have you guys seen that? Betty, have you guys seen that little short? Okay, let me find it here real quick. I think I have, because I want you to, I showed this yesterday. And of course, they didn't know what to say. Oh, I can't find it. I can't find it. But Ken, Dr. Maybe it's yesterday, John. Bear with me, folks, real quickly, because it's really worth you seeing. And I showed this video to them yesterday, and they were, they didn't know what to say. So that would be Monday. Maybe that's it. Is that it? Yes, there it is. No, it isn't. Yeah, I think that's it right there. Is that it? Yeah, there it is. Hang on. Johnny, I'm going to send it to you right now because I played this video. See, folks, they have lied to us in school. We let them get away with it. They teach us all lies in school, and then we believe their lies. See, I'm sending this to Jared. And so I showed this video yesterday. And I asked this very simple question. Sorry if I'm off tangent here. what is a theory? I just sent it to you, John. Get that thing ready to go. What's a theory? I asked them. What's a theory? And, of course, they knew what a theory was. They said, well, it's, you know, it's an idea of how something happened. It's a maybe this. I said, okay, then what do they call the theory of evolution? The theory of evolution. Well, some guy said, well, because it's not proven. I said, yeah, they call it a theory of evolution because it's not proven. Let me ask you something. Do they teach that to you here in schools if evolution is true? Do they teach you that evolution is true? And they scratched their head, said, well, yeah. Well, then why do they call it a theory? It's a theory of evolution. If evolution is true and they know we came from monkeys, why is there any debate? And if they don't know if we came from monkeys, why are they teaching it to you as truth? And how about all of the people in the world who believe they were created in the image of God? Why does the government get the right to choose which origin they're going to believe? And I talked about the devil and good and evil and Christ and the devil and the spiritual war that's going on. The devil's a liar and the father lies. He doesn't want you to know the truth. And I played this little short video from Dr. Ken Hove and Dr. Dino, who, of course, they had no idea who he was. Now, this is what, are you looking at me? I love for my beliefs to be challenged. I love it. Because when my belief is challenged, you know what I do? I go do research. Because I want to prove I'm right. And then, hang on, then we have people in the debate. They go and they pull out selective scriptures that support what they believe. And I say, okay, time out. Give me 10 minutes and I'll find selective scriptures that show just the opposite. Because when you take a scripture out of context, you are in serious, serious trouble. And much of what we have in Christianity are scriptures that have been taken out of context. So in the American educational system, evolution is taught as fact. Explain to them macroevolution and microevolution. That I believe in microevolution, small changes within species. My wife and I got married and we copulated and we created a baby. And when the birth was coming, I didn't stand outside of when my wife was giving birth, I didn't stand there and say, oh Lord, please let it be a human. Oh, Lord, please don't give me a giraffe. Oh, please don't let my wife give me an elephant. No, I knew that she was going to give me a human because why? The Bible says that we reproduce after our own kind. And so the idea that you came from a fish. Oh, and then I got this one. Somebody said, well, what about the dinosaurs? Opened the door, I walked right in and said, we ever heard of the flood? They were turning their hats around at the end of the class. The flood. Yeah, Noah's flood. Y'all heard of it? Yeah, yeah. 2x2. Did you know that Noah on the ark took the 2x2? Been watching too much Walt Disney. He took 2x2 to unclean animals. He took clean animals by sevens. You didn't even know that, did you, friends? Because you've been programmed as well. Every clean animal, he took 7 pairs of clean animals. 14 of clean animals. Look it up. I don't know where it is. Somebody look it up. Trust but verify. And so as you begin to lay out this obvious lies, their eyes are popping open. And as I said to somebody, said earlier, I always take some hats with me. Just because sometime a kid will come up, hey, where did I get one of those hats? And when I was done yesterday, a dozen people wanted a hat. They came up and gave me $20 for a hat, provided I signed it.
Amen.
You tell me that's not proof of eyes being opened. At the end of the class, they were proud to put on a hat. They weren't ashamed of their faith anymore. They knew that what I was telling. See, we didn't even get into salvation. Some, are you ready for this one? I had a young lady come up to me afterwards, and she says, oh, thank you. Thank you for coming, Coach Donald. Let me ask you something. I'm a lesbian. Am I going to hell? And I said, well, you mean, are you going to hell because you're a lesbian? She says, yeah. So, no, you're not going to hell because you're a lesbian. You're going to hell because you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior. That you're a sinner born into sin. When you're a sinner, you do all kinds of crazy things. One of the crazy things you do is you sleep with women. That's not what sends you to hell. Sleeping with other women, that's a sin. And you're going to go to hell, not because you sleep with other women, but because you've never received the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Oh my God, it was so powerful. Because see, we don't understand what non-Christians think about what we believe. And the forum where you ought to be able to most discuss it, the public schools, you're not allowed to discuss it. Isn't that something? So I said, okay, all right. You guys love evolution? Here's what Dr. Dino says about it. This is very fast, folks, very fast. But I want you to think of the many questions this clip raises. Go ahead.
Evolution is a slippery word. When someone says, do you believe in evolution? I say, what do you mean? It's got six different meanings. First would have to be cosmic evolution, the Big Bang. Where did time, space, and matter come from? Then you have to get chemical evolution. There's 92 naturally occurring elements. How do you get gold, silver, and platinum out of hydrogen gas? Then you got to have stars evolving, stellar evolution. Nobody has ever seen a star form. Then you have to have organic evolution. Life has to somehow come from non-living matter. Then you have to have macroevolution, where an animal changes from one kind into another. Nobody's ever seen these first five. The Earth formed 4.5 billion years ago. And then this first life form that came out of the soup had to somehow transform itself into everything else today. So that little amoeba, single-celled creature, turned into a whale and a giraffe and a pine tree and everything. Look, you guys can believe what you want, but don't call that science. Evolution is not part of science. It's a religious belief. The word evolution is a slippery word.
Boom! Boom! Huh? Huh? And what are they teaching us as fact? Evolution. I'm going to move on. It was fascinating. Zimba got their hand up. Hang on here a second. That's on my computer. It's folks, I'm going to tell you this. The Bible's the truth and it wins. And I every question they had, I swatted that thing. I'll swat it. But the sad part is we allow our kids to go to schools and be indoctrinated as if religion is something that is very personal and private and nobody else is allowed to know anything about it. How modern American Christians can allow lies like evolution to be taught in our schools is just beyond. It's just beyond me. It's just beyond me. You get anybody, anywhere in any courtroom and have them answer the question, is evolution proven? Darwinian evolution, is it fact? And you won't find one scientist in the world who will say that without a doubt it's true. Yet we teach it. It is the only origin of species that we teach, Darwinian evolution, and it's a lie. It's a theory. Doesn't hold up. Doesn't hold up at all under challenge. The only thing they can do is bar it from being taught. The only thing they can do is bar Christianity from being taught. And so that's what I said. That is the devil against Christ. It's everywhere you look in your life here, kids. Everywhere you look in your life, they are programming you. So let me go back to the beginning. When I start, ask yourself, what's the agenda this person has? How do I know if what they told me is true? How do I know? Two questions. When you understand that the person who has an agenda, when you understand that your health teacher stands in front of you and tells you that homosexuality is perfectly normal, you better understand the teacher has an agenda. And the teacher's agenda is to convince you to accept homosexuality. That's their agenda. And if you don't get that, then you're missing the whole thing that's going on. And so all of America, they want to force you to believe their agenda. That's what's going on. And ultimately, it's the seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. It's the devil against Jesus. It's right against wrong. It's truth against lies in every aspect of your life. Come on in, Kevin.
You know, Dave, something kind of funny just hit me. You know, there are secular schools out there that will let you come and speak, but there are Christian churches that won't let you come.
It is amazing. Do you understand, Kevin? Do you have any idea? Folks, I'm not bragging. Do you have any idea how much I could educate your congregation if they just gave me a month? You have any idea? Go ahead, Kevin.
No. That was my point. I just think that's such a paradox that secular schools, there are secular schools that will let you come and speak, but there are Christian churches that won't. And I just
that's right. And you better realize this: the guy standing in the pulpit has an agenda, and his agenda is to get you to believe what he believes. That's his agenda. He's not open to debate, questions. He's not open to that. He has what he believes, and if you don't believe what he believes, that's how we got 46,000 different denominations. Denny, come on in.
I've been in sales about 50 years of my life, Dave, and a big part of what we're talking about is also marketing. Marketing can be a very good thing, but most of marketing is to manipulate people and have them believe what's not really true.
That's right.
That's marketing.
Denny, well said. See, and there's no accountability. Think of the lying marketing that we see going on in our political realm. See, the women's movement is nothing more than marketing. And what was the agenda of those behind the women's movement? If we just started there, what was her name? The big feminist that started the whole thing. Come on, my brain's dead. What's her name? Her name.
Gloria Steinem.
Say it again.
Gloria Steinem.
Gloria Steinem. Anybody wonder what her agenda was? Do you think her agenda was to make a better society, better families, happier, more godly people? You think that was her agenda? No. Gloria Steinem's agenda was rebellious women. She was looking for rebellious women who were uncomfortable in their marriages, didn't want to be mothers. They wanted to go. She wanted to go against God's plan for the family. And she started a movement, and Lucifer and his supporters got behind her. And today, look at what we got. Look what we have. And it all was based on an agenda and a lie that women were going to be happier if they shrugged off being wives and mothers. If they just stopped doing all that homemaking stuff, and if they went and got to be corporate board women, and they got to run the, if they just got to be boss, they would be happy. And look at us. Look at us. Because why? It goes against God's. Can I tell you something? There's not a happier woman in the world than my wife. Because she doesn't have to go earn money. She gets to stay home and take care of grandbabies. She's as happy as any woman I know. And unfortunately, the women's movement has lied to women. And the result? Destructive, broken families. Amen. So again, comes back to the original question. What's the agenda? What's the agenda? I got something up here. I got to ask this real quickly. I want to ask this. What's going on with the Catholic Church? Hang on. Joe Biden is probably one of the most public Catholics that we have in the country now, except for priests and all that. Joe Biden and, by the way, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are both bold, practicing Catholics. And they both want to murder babies. Isn't there somewhere along the line somebody in Catholic hierarchy that would stand up openly and demand Joe Biden and Robert F. Kennedy throw them out of the church? Say, you are not Catholics. You're not Catholics. Why doesn't that happen? Hey, friends, do you think you can be pro-life? I'm sorry. Can you be pro-choice and be a Catholic? I want to hear from you. Somebody explain to me how the Pope, by the way, the Pope, say, there you go, coach, you're anti-Catholic. I heard it. I heard you. The Pope just endorsed gay marriages. Can somebody explain to me how that's Christian? Can somebody, somebody explain that to me? And then I ask my friends, I say, well, what's going on with the Pope? I say, oh, he's not Catholic. Pope's not Catholic. Oh, Biden, he's not Catholic. He's not a real Catholic. What? What are you talking about? That's the mess we find ourselves in, folks. That's the mess that we find ourselves in. And I have some dear friends who are lifelong, committed, deep Catholics. And they think the Pope's a fraud. They think Biden's a fraud. And nobody does anything about it. They are calling themselves Catholics and being anti-Christ. Anti-teachings of Christ, anyway, let alone all the theology and different stuff they get into. But here's the most public Catholic in America, Joe Biden, and he's for killing babies. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wants to run and be president, and he's a Catholic, and he's for killing babies. What's going on? There's no accountability. No accountability at all. Okay, something else I want to pull up here. Huh? What's going on? What's going on? Coach, man, that's yesterday's show. No wonder I've said, what the heck's going on? That's yesterday's show. I pulled up there real quick, didn't I? Okay, let's get back here. Pull up for me Romans 13. Hang on a second, Johnny. I'm wrong. That one's okay. Pull up the one right below. It says, have nothing to do. Hey, are you ready? Let me do this real quick. Now I'm looking at my notes. Here comes Hillary. Mark my word. Here comes Hillary. See, what are you talking about? Here's what's going to happen. We're going to see this in this chaotic time that we're in the next 6 months, whatever it is, before the election. Joe Biden can't win. He cannot win. They know he can't win. Kamala Harris is a joke. They know she's a joke. She cannot win. I see this happening. Somehow they're going to get rid of Camel Toes, vice president. And Hillary's going to come riding in, and they're going to appoint her vice president. Remember they did that with Agnew? Remember that, Richard Nixon? Agnew, they booted him out, brought in Gerald Ford, the Mason. Gerald Ford then became president. Remember that? So they're going to boot out. They got to shore up their women vote. Michelle Obama ain't going to cut it. She ain't going to cut it. They're going to bring Hillary in as vice president. Hillary's going to be vice president. And lo and behold, something's going to happen to Joe Biden. And then Hillary is going to become president. And then because she's president, Joe Biden, whatever happened to him, isn't there anymore. Hillary's now the first woman president. She'll run against Donald Trump in November. Write it down. That's what's going on, folks. Because, see, they'll pull the women vote back in because people all love Hillary. They all love her. I'll pull her back in. Here comes Hillary. Hillary. Oh, I got so much to show you today. Okay, so I have nothing to do. Be there. This is for those who say, I'm working backwards here on Romans 13 says that we're supposed to. Okay, let's go to Romans 13 first. I heard you, Lord. Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. This is the hammer the church pastors hide behind. They hide behind this, and this way they don't have to get involved with government. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that are ordained of God, powers that be are ordained of God. So in other words, God picked Joe Biden. God picked Obama. They want us to believe that? They want us to believe that? See, the position maybe was ordained, not the guy sitting there. So whosoever, therefore, resists the government, why? They're resisting God. So the government wants to murder babies, and if you fight against it, well, you're fighting against God, because God wants babies murdered too, don't you see? And if you resist the power, you resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Oh, no, no. The government's taking real good care of those J6 God-loving guys that showed up and tried to fight for the government. Rulers are, they're not a terror to those guys. No, because rulers are supposed to be a terror to evil. But we have a government that's a terror to good. Will you then not be afraid of their power? Do you understand what they're doing? J6, they're trying to make you afraid of their power. Do that which is good. And they shall have praise of the same. So if you do what's good, like you want to rescue unborn babies, do you get the praise of the government? You don't? You get thrown in jail? Seems to me something's upside down here. For he's the minister of God to thee for good. Joe Biden's a minister of God to me for good? Are you kidding me? Tell me you're kidding me. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. Well, Joe's doing that which is evil. Joe ain't doing good stuff. Be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Question for you. Cal Zastro, who rescues babies, is he evil? Or is the government that arrested Cal for rescuing babies? Which one's evil? And if the government's evil, are you supposed to support it? Is that what they want us to believe? that God instituted Satan over government and we're to obey Satan? Okay, flip over to the other one, the other scripture. Because how do you do, how are those that tell you you got to obey the government, how do they handle this? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself an offering. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be spoken among you. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with words, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Partakers with who? The one that we just read about. The politicians. For you were sometimes in darkness, but not anymore, man. You walk now as a child of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which they have done of them in secret. Hang on, friends. How do you square that with an evil government? Romans 13. How do you square those two things? Well, simple. Have nothing to do with wickedness. Have nothing to do with it. See, this is referring to people who are walking in the light. How we're supposed to work with people who are walking in the light. That all these things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth not make manifest is light. Oh my goodness. We're so screwed up. American Christianity is so screwed. One more that I'm going to open it up for you. I got so much stuff to do today. Oh my goodness. Pull up Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson has just had it's number two. He just had a conversion, I don't know if you know this or not. He wasn't converted to force, but ask if this message that Jordan Peterson is going to give right here would be welcome in your church. Go ahead.
Be helpful for people to hear that they should make themselves competent and dangerous and take their proper place in the world.
Competent and dangerous?
Mm.
Why dangerous?
Because it's the alternative to being weak, and weak is not good.
By dangerous, that implies I should be ready to threaten someone, to hurt somebody.
No, you should be capable of it, but that doesn't mean you should use it. Those who have swords and know how to use them but keep them sheathed will inherit the world. That's a way better way of thinking about it. There's nothing to you otherwise. Like, if you're not a formidable force, there's no morality in your self-control. If you're incapable of violence, not being violent isn't a virtue. Capacity for danger and the capacity for control is what brings about the virtue. Otherwise, you confuse weakness with moral virtue. I'm harmless, therefore I'm good. It's like, no, that isn't how it works. That isn't how it works at all. If you're harmless, you're just weak. And if you're weak, you're not going to be good. You can't be, because it takes strength to be good. It's very difficult to be good. It's very helpful for people to hear.
Wow! Wow! So the virtue is not in being dangerous. The virtue is controlling the danger. The virtue isn't in not carrying a gun. The virtue is carrying the gun and keeping it sheathed, knowing when to pull it and when not to. And what are they teaching Christians everywhere you go? Certainly not to be dangerous. Oh, no, no. Loving and accepting and tolerance. And as a result, look what the government is doing to Christians, running right over the top of Christians, teaching to school children with Christians' tax dollars the doctrines of demons, evolution, homosexuality, transgenderism, lying, stealing, conniving, all of it. Teaching it with Christians' tax dollars. Why? Because Christians aren't dangerous. Christians are loving and tolerant, acceptance. You understand that evil men have crept in unaware and they changed the truth of God into a lie, and now they worship and serve the creature rather than the creature? Huh? Boom. You want more? I'll give you one more. Pull this one up. Pull up number four. Oh, I don't have time to show you all this. Boy, is this dude in trouble. I can't believe it. This guy's name is Harrison Butker. Go down at the bottom. Go down, scrolling down. Harrison Butker, he's the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. They ask him, he's a Catholic boy, they ask him to speak at Benedictine College. Put this at 1.5 speed and let's watch just about 5 minutes of this. By the way,
ladies and
you need to watch it all. Put it in the chat. This guy is dangerous. Go ahead.
Gentlemen of the class of 2024, I would like to start off by congratulating all of you for successfully making it to this achievement today. I'm sure your high school graduation was not what you had imagined, and most likely neither was your first couple years of college. By making it to this moment through all the adversity thrown your way from COVID, I hope you learned the important lessons that suffering in this life is only temporary. As a group, you witnessed firsthand how bad leaders who don't stay in their lane can have a negative impact on society. It is through this lens that I want to take stock of how we got to where we are and where we want to go as citizens and, yes, as Catholics. One last thing before I begin. I want to be sure to thank President Minnis and the board for their invitation to speak. When President Minnis first reached out a couple of months ago, I had originally said no. You see, last year I gave the commencement address at my alma mater, Georgia Tech, and I felt that one graduation speech was more than enough, especially for someone who isn't a professional speaker. But of course, President Minnis used his gift of persuasion and spoke to the many challenges you all faced throughout the COVID fiasco and how you missed out on so many milestones the rest of us older people have taken for granted. While COVID might have played a large role throughout your formative years, it is not unique. Bad policies and poor leadership have negatively impacted major life issues. Things like abortion, IVF, surrogacy, euthanasia, as well as a growing support for degenerate cultural values and media all stem from the pervasiveness of this order. Our own nation is led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally. He has been so vocal in his support for the murder of innocent babies that I'm sure to many people, it appears that you can be both Catholic and pro-choice. He is not alone. From the man behind the COVID lockdowns to the people pushing dangerous gender ideologies onto the youth of America, they all have a glaring thing in common. They are Catholic. This is an important reminder that being Catholic alone doesn't cut it. These are the sorts of things we are told in polite society to not bring up. You know, the difficult and unpleasant things. But if we are going to be men and women for this time in history, we need to stop pretending that the Church of Nice is a winning proposition. We must always speak and act in charity, but never mistake charity for cowardice. It is safe to say that over the past few years, I've gained quite the reputation for speaking my mind. I never envisioned myself nor wanted to have this sort of a platform, but God has given it to me, so I have no other choice but to embrace it and preach more hard truths about accepting your lane and staying in it. As members of the church founded by Jesus Christ, it is our duty and ultimately privilege to be authentically and unapologetically Catholic. Don't be mistaken, even within the church, people in polite Catholic circles will try to persuade you to remain silent. There even was an award-winning film called Silence, made by a fellow Catholic, wherein one of the main characters, a Jesuit priest, abandoned the church and as an apostate, when he died is seen grasping a crucifix, quiet and unknown to anyone but God. As a friend of Benedictine College, His Excellency Bishop Robert Barron said in his review of the film, it was exactly what the cultural elite want to see in Christianity, private, hidden away, and harmless. Our Catholic faith has always been
private, hidden away, and harmless. That's what the elites want Christianity to be. Private, hidden away, and peaceful. That's it, folks. That's it. Put that in the chat. It's really worth watching. And you have to ask yourself, where are our religious leaders saying this kind of stuff? Where are they? As evil is, it's everywhere. One out of five kids in that classroom, only one out of five went to church regularly. Only one out of five. And we put them in those public schools and we teach them doctrines of demons. I got more, but I'm going to open it up. Somebody come on in.
Dave?
Yes?
Call on me?
You're up, bud.
Wow. Wow. You speak my heart. I think you speak the heart of many of us in this queue this morning. You share things that touch our hearts, that validate our hearts. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Thanks, Roger. I'm trying to. Do me a favor. I'm sorry. Hey, Spencer, or Johnny, I'm sorry. Pull up Mario Murillo. Seeing how it's been most of a monologue here today. Hey, this is heavy stuff, isn't it, folks? Now, wait a minute. Oh, hang on. No, I'm not anti-Catholic. No, I'm not anti-Catholic. No, I'm not anti-Semitic. Would you guys quit thinking like that? The way they've programmed you, that anytime you question anything, you're anti that? As if, by the way, being anti something is bad.
Exactly.
You're now a wartime pastor. I like this guy. Mario Murillo, by the way, September 14th, 2021. How long ago would that be? Almost 3 years ago? 3 years ago? You believe you have a choice, but reality and circumstances have made the choice. You try to stay out of the war, but you'll be labeled a traitor. I'm not calling you a traitor, but the situation will. Things are deteriorating fast. The battle lines are drawn so clearly, your silence will label you a turncoat. Anti-Semitic. There's a powerful pull to remain a peacetime pastor. Nostalgia and a yearning for simpler times are strong temptations, but there's no going back. Like it or not, reject it or not, you are a wartime pastor. So what should a wartime pastor be doing right now? Scrolling up, please. One, a wartime pastor will face the fact that our nation is being led by evildoers. The same villains who led the disastrous exit from Afghanistan are in control of the pandemic. They don't care about people's lives. They don't care that they're despised by most of America. They're dedicated to their Marxist agenda, Luciferian agenda, you want my opinion, and are bent on destroying this nation. They're reckless and depraved. It's only after a pastor realizes that those who are in power now are totally evil that they will make the right choices for the good of their own people. Number two, a wartime pastor will educate the congregation as to the evils of the critical race theory, transgenderism, and abortion. They'll do it early, emphatically, and won't back down. They don't know that it's better to cut your losses now than to allow congregation to fester in cultural compromise. Proverbs 28 says, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. Wow. Three, a wartime pastor will organize his people immediately. Are you pastoring a church? Are you organizing your people? Is your church an army? They will get everyone down to the school board meeting. Who will? Wartime pastors. They will get everyone down to the school board meeting, the county commission meeting, city council meeting, because this is war. And you will get your people to start working together. Pastor, they are looking to you, and you must lead them. Number four, a wartime pastor will deal with the hard questions, the unavoidable questions. What will you do when your unvaccinated members won't be able to be treated at the hospitals? They won't even be let in the front door. It's already happening. The church will have to take care of them. You ready for that? The church will have to take care of them. Some of your people are going to be fired from their jobs. They may even have trouble finding any gainful employment. They'll need help. Kind of help you haven't ever dealt with before. And there could be a lot of them. Are you preparing your people? Five, a wartime pastor realizes that they will soon be coming after your money. They failed to keep the church locked down. The church came roaring back, and now they're going to go after your money. How will they do this? Biden's already planning to turn the IRS into a weapon against freedom of religion. Just as Bank of America shut down the bank accounts of conservatives in the same way, the government is planning a bold and diabolical attack on your finances. And any church that does not comply with the state-run message will have their accounts attacked. Before you can say this can't happen, look back on what has already happened that we thought never could. Lastly, a wartime pastor realizes that the church is built on the rock. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus said in Matthew, and I say unto you, that you're Peter, and on this rock, your confession that I am the Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The wartime pastor is fighting with the weapons of God. They're confident of victory because of the cross, the resurrection, and the Holy Spirit. However, peacetime pastor has no part in that promise. The promise to prevail against the gates of hell is the exclusive domain of a pastor who is fully engaged in the war, and not the preacher who either has their head in the sand or is running away from the war. Dale, come on in.
Well, hallelujah, Coach. I'm glad to be one of those pastors who have taken it to the streets, confronted that stuff. We are creating these people in church and this generation coming up. I always said this. I said this on Mother's Day too. I said, you know what? Confrontation stinks, but sometimes it's required. And we've created a a non-confrontation because we are creating them to conform. We're creating a non-confronting but a complying church is what we've come. These people don't know what it is to walk with the foot soldiers. What are they going to do when the chariots come a running? Coach, go back in history. Look what happened in World War I. See, we don't learn from history. World War I, we almost lost it before it began. You know why? Do you know that we were training our soldiers with stick guns? Stick guns. They didn't have real guns. They had stick guns. And guess what? When the war started, they didn't have enough guns to get involved. And this is what we're teaching our children in these churches, Coach. They don't know what it is. It's a generation of non-competitive, unstudied, unlearned people. All they know what to do is comply.
Comply. Hey, do me a favor out there, Johnny. Is it John? Yeah, it's John. Hey, John, pull up Ephesians 5 again for me, if you would.
And as you do that, Coach, you know, I've asked this several times in my church. How many, just raise your hands, have been to the abortion clinics or been to school boards? 95% of the people in my church have raised their hands.
Amen. Amen, Dale. Verse 11. Take this to the bank or take it wherever you want to. Deal with this and tell me what this means. And have no fellowship. How much?
Zero.
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Hey, Johnny, what's Webster say reprove is? Doesn't say tolerate, accept, love. He doesn't say any of that stuff. Why? Because evil men have crept in unawares. So to reprove means to blame, to censor, to charge with a fault to the face, to chide, to reprehend, to refute, to disprove, to excite a sense of guilt. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness from your Christian brothers, but rather correct them, charge them with fault to their face, chide them, reprehend them. No. We're to love them. Coach Dave, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge, Coach Dave? Right? Okay, I'm on it. I'm going one more. Hang on. The silence is deafening, by the way. Pull up for me. Where is it? Which one is it? Oh, yeah, there it is. Pull up number one. Paid off doctors. Dr. Peter McCullough. Scroll down, Johnny. Folks, this is your doctor. Okay, you ready? That's the one I want you to play there, I think, right there. Dr. Peter McCullough. Scroll on down, John. See if it doesn't play. There it is. Hang on. Go back up a second, John. I'm sorry, man. Look at right there. Can you make that a little bigger? The final incentive payment. Here it is. If you practice meets below thresholds for vaccinations, at least one dose by September 21st, here's what your doctor got. If 30% of his patients took the bonus, he got $20 per vaccination. If 40% took it, he got $45 per vaccination. If 50% took him, he got $70 per vaccination. If 60% of them took it, he got $100 per vaccination. If 75% of his people in the Xantha membership took it, he got $125 bonus per vaccination. And then they upped it up. Anthem, remember, his vaccine got $100 per newly vaccinated. If I got it to 40%, it's 150. At the end, if they got 75% of their members vaccinated, your doctor got $250 bonus. Huh? Keep scrolling down, John, and play the video. So it's about right there. It's about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
The COVID vaccines are actually still government property.
So
the government still pays the vaccine. But wait a minute, you're onto something. Do you know there was a leaked letter from Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield? And a typical doctor could have, you know, I don't know, 1,000 or 2,000 Blue Cross Blue Shields patients in their panel. If the doctor got to 70% of his population vaccinated with the COVID vaccine, You know what the bonus was to the doctor?
I'm scared to even hear.
About a quarter mil.
Oh, my. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So the question on the table is, was Blue Cross just giving a doctor $250,000, or were they paid through the government, through the Biden administration COVID community core money? So I think what's happening is money is passing from the government to the insurance companies. The insurance companies are juicing the system and leveraging the system. Why would CVS and Walgreens be giving out vaccines? They have to be getting government money to do this. They're not going to waste their time doing this, right? So the government must be beyond this.
Who's telling you that? And why are they telling you that? Always follow the money. Now, who is in charge of these scoundrels? Who's supposed to be? You. Me. We show up in Washington, D.C. and complain, and they lock us up. They trump up charges and lock us up. And then your pastor is going to tell you and me that we're to obey the government. Romans 13. Right? Huh? Folks, you obey the American government, you're obeying Lucifer. Do you think Jesus Christ died that you would obey Lucifer? Do you think Paul wrote the letter to the Romans to get them to obey Lucifer? How stupid can we be? How stupid can we be? Come on in. So I got 4 minutes left. I'll keep going. I got something else. Aren't there any other anti-vaccine folks out there? Are you anti-vax, Coach Dave? You anti-vax? No, I'm anti-poison.
Hey, man.
Pro-life, anti-poison. Stop calling me anti just because I'm against evil. I'm anti-evil. I'm pro-good. Huh? Pro-good. I said to those kids yesterday, I asked them, do you guys think I have any advantage at all coming in here and lying to you? Why would I lie to you? I'm a guest speaker. Why would I lie to you? What advantage do I get out of it? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth, and then you get to deal with it. Hey, friends, who's lying to you? Jack.
Yeah, Coach, I sent you about a 45-second Peterson explanation of I'm a believer, what it really means.
Bring up number six. Jordan Peterson. Go ahead.
That isn't something you believe in. Or you could say that the way we conceptualize belief in the modern world is shallow. To believe in God is to commit your life. That's what the belief is. It isn't the statement, I believe in God. The statement can get in the way. It does all the time. It says in the Gospels, Christ himself says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Just because you say you believe something, it's like people say all the time that they're Christians. I'm a believing Christian. It's like, that's hard there, buddy. That's the most difficult possible commitment by definition. It's the, because it's the hoisting of the cross, right? Really, you're going to commit to that, are you? So here's what you're committing to. Painful, unjust death, accompanied by betrayal, the perfidy of the mob, and the dominion of the tyrant. And you're going to welcome that. And that's not all, because Christ harrows hell. That's not all. That's just where it starts. Full confrontation with malevolence. You're going to commit to that, are you? God isn't something you believe in.
Full confrontation with malevolence. I love that, huh? Huh? That's your commitment when you are a Christian. Full confrontation with malevolence. Dale.
Yeah, hallelujah, Coach. That video is perfect timing. Peter, who was the one that said, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, right? And what did Jesus say of Peter at that Last Supper thing? He said, Peter, when thou art what? Converted. Then. Right? Then it's going to come down. Hallelujah. Oh, another thing, Coach, 100% of my church did not take that vax. I lost out on that gravy train, I guess.
dummy. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, you know
malevolence. Mal is bad. Mal is always mal. Malignant. Malevolence. Malevolence, evil, fight evil. Hurry up, Jeff. Sorry.
You know how you just said, everybody says, I'm a Christian. I had to call Tom Condit. I got some idiot trying to shyster money out of me, which he already did 3 or 4 months ago. He got an attorney. I had to take less money from him to settle the stupid thing. He's a liar. He tells Tom yesterday on the phone, he said, well, I know JC's a Christian and I'm a Christian. I want to say, well, then why are you suing me? It's like, geez. Yeah,
amen. Amen. Huh? Wow. Malevolence, huh? I'm full bore in war against malevolence. See you tomorrow.